Hi, I'm Marla Gedia.
And I'm Angus McGrutha.
And this is episode 20 of Auslander.
Conversations with Aussie creatives in Berlin.
This episode, we have cast members from the show Out of Chaos, which is from the production company Gravity and Other Myths.
Yeah, we've got Martin Schreiber, Dylan Phillips and Amanda Lee, who are performing at the Chameleon Theatre in this amazing acrobatic show, which has elements of music and interesting lighting
and improv and, yeah, jaw-dropping suspense, basically.
Yeah.
We went the other week and we were on the edge of our seats because they just build these human pyramids, five people on top of each other. And
yeah,
or at an angle. It was superb. It was really amazing. And what I loved about the show is that there was a bit of audience interaction where we got to ask them questions in the middle of the show and sort of demystify the whole concept of acrobatics. And I found it really down to earth, actually.
Yeah. Well, also, this is their first long season overseas in Berlin.
Yeah.
So the company is called Gravity and Other Myths, and they're from Adelaide. And so they're here for 6 months, and the show is running until the 16th of Feb. So if you're in Berlin between now and then, please go see the show. It's
astounding.
Yeah. So this is Out of Chaos.
Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Martin Schreiber.
Mm.
Bist du Deutsch?
Yeah, mein Vater ist Deutsch.
Yeah, we thought so because you speak German pretty well in the show.
Oh, look. I definitely could be better. I was hoping I would pick up a bit more when I was here.
Yeah.
But it's proved a bit more difficult to learn than I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
But yeah, like I learned in school and my dad and his side of the family is German.
Okay.
But they live in Australia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So is this all of your first time in Berlin?
I've passed through very briefly, but long term, yeah.
What about you, Dylan?
Yeah, same. I've passed through a few times and lived in Hamburg when I was a kid for a year-ish.
Oh, okay.
And then we came up to Berlin a few times, but first time being in Berlin for a long stint.
Okay.
And I've been a bunch of times to visit friends, and I've performed in Potsdam a couple of times. Yeah, I really love it here. So
nice.
It's great to be back.
Great.
So, because you're one of the founding members of...
Yep, of Gravity and Other Myths.
Gravity and Other Myths, which is the company. Yeah.
And how did this name come about?
We were kind of spitballing names and emailing each other and coming up with all different possibilities. And I think someone threw out the name Balance and Other Myths.
Yeah.
And then I kind of skim-read the email and didn't really... I wasn't paying much attention. I came to training and said, oh, that one, like Gravity and Other Myths, that was pretty cool. People were like,
what?
Oh, well, I guess that is cool. And so, yeah, it's just, a bit of tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
We actually get quite a lot of comments about, what we think the other myths are. And we.
was my next question. What are the other
well,
myths?
Well, every now and again we make up something, but no, it's just a kind of fun name. I had a shirt that says Gravity and Other Myths. And I'd never had this happen before, but I went to visit my sister in Oxford. She's at the uni there. And I had, three people stop me in the street and ask if I was, a flat earther or something. I'd never had that happen, but I guess just in that kind of more academic world.
Did you start answering yes?
Well, I should have, actually, yeah.
Well, that's interesting because, the theme of chaos, I don't know if that ties in with, a myth, but being the sort of central theme of the show, was that a concept you began with and then work towards it while creating the show, or was that something that came out of just improvising and playing around?
Well, I think from Darcy, originally the conversation was around the addition of people to a space. So one person, what happens when you add a second person and then a third person, a fourth person?
Mm.
That, from my knowledge, was one of the key ideas when creating in the beginning. But then from there, once... we start. Not all of us were actually on the first development because some of the casting ended up changing and different people were in different shows and had to move around. But when we ended up the cast that is now here getting in a room, things started to change and develop into bigger concepts and started to go from that idea into a much kind of broader thing of, chaos and all of these bigger concepts.
And you're right, we did think a lot about kind of Greek myths, especially with the word chaos.
Yeah.
Because they, I think, define it to mean something about the void rather than necessarily something that's super chaotic. It's this empty space of possibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which we kind of tried to hone in on a bit when we made the show.
Yeah. Which also that kind of with the darkness of the stage and the theatre. And like
doing acrobatics in the pitch dark. Are you crazy?
We're just like using the spotlights and stuff. And we were on edge the whole time because we were sitting at the front.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just like ready for something to happen, like fall on us or.
So did that concept of doing acrobatics in the dark come out of an improv or was that something that you predetermined?
We were just, it wasn't necessarily an improv, but we were just in a space one day all talking and jamming and deciding what we were going to work on. And it was kind of a good thing to do at the end of the day because we didn't have to use much energy. Mm. Well, we all just had to stand there, basically. We got our phone torch out and turned the lights off and were kind of using it to highlight different parts of your body and just kind of a different way to view something than you would normally just, like, sit and take it in. You have to really, like, concentrate and see what's going on.
It's like putting a magnifying glass or something.
It started off less with acrobatics and more just exploring and specifically honing in on one body part or a shape that looks unusual and you can't really work out what it is because you're not getting the whole picture, which then we obviously, further pushed it and did a bit more acrobatics as well in the dark.
Yeah, and we also worked with Jeff Cobham. Oh my goodness, I said his name wrong. he's a brilliant visual artist, and so he also worked on Backbone, which is another show by the same company.
Yeah.
He has a brilliant eye for lighting and kind of brought this world of Out of Chaos to actual life on stage.
Right.
And so all of the concepts are really quite thought through and they mesh with the acrobatics in a really connected way.
Mm.
Yeah.
How did the concept of working with a musician come about?
Yeah, that was amazing.
I've never seen that. I mean, I've seen very many acrobatic shows, but that concept was quite
unusual. From a couple of shows ago, when we first started, one of my good friends is a drummer, and he, from basically the start of the company, has been a big part of it. Just because we used to jam out and have fun, him playing beats and us doing acrobatics.
Right.
And so from then, we have just kind of always really wanted to work with a musician because it just seems like it makes everything so much more involved. There's not, you don't have to try and think about your backing track timing and it just really kind of brings the audience in much more. And Ekram, our musician on this show, is just awesome. He plays so many different instruments. He sings.
I like the whole, what do you call that? The looping of the sounds in real time was
So he really tries to make the soundtrack live on stage. As much as he can without having all of his instruments there. But, he likes to try and change it up so it's different every day, basically.
Is it? Okay.
And so he's not coming from an acrobatic background.
No, not at all.
So that's interesting because it's sort of, you sort of think, oh, is he going to do a trick with his body? But actually you see him do more vocal acrobatics he sort of stretches himself in that regard. And that was really cool too.
And it was really cool how you guys all just made him do an acrobatic show by placing him on top of table after table after table. And that was super exciting to watch while he's trying to, control his voice or find the chaos in his voice.
Yeah, we did a lot of improvs on that actually of how to kind of put him in the show in the acrobatics without it feeling too token.
Yeah.
It's also quite lovely to have a live musician as well there with us on stage because not only the part where he's performing with us but the creative part where, as acrobats we tackle creative problems a certain way with our bodies whereas a musician or someone who does acting, any kind of different medium of creativity will attack the same questions but quite differently.
Yeah.
So we got that through a musician and that kind of added to the whole the whole theme of the show.
Yeah. Is he loving it, this whole experience?
Yeah, he is. He's loving it. Yeah. Because he's done a lot of work on films and stuff before.
Right.
Like film scoring. And he's just, it's a totally new world for him.
Yeah.
Doing this sort of stuff and he's loving it.
Dylan, you're only 18 years old. Is that true?
Yeah.
That's amazing. So how did you choose this vocation, career? Was it something that you've always dreamed of as a small child?
I mean, I did circus. Me and my twin brother and my older brother, we all did youth circus the same way a lot of these guys did when we were really young, when I was probably 5. And then it was more just a coordination thing. My parents put me into it because they liked the idea of it. And they also liked the idea of youth circus, not necessarily being about circus, but coordination, creativity, and interacting with other human beings, basically. And so then I stopped doing that, and I came, when I lived in Germany, that's kind of when I started doing circus again. I got super into, everyone else wanted to go and play soccer in the freezing cold, and I hate the cold, and so I went into a little gym and rode on my unicycle for hours on end.
Amazing.
And then, yeah, came back in to Australia and started doing acrobatics at Circids, which is the youth circus school Adelaide, and kind of went from there. But I guess, yeah, it was something I was always, from a pretty young age, envisioned being something I wanted to do, and the creativity being one of the main driving forces, but also that little combination of creativity and then physical and pushing the body in a kind of sporty way, but not so sporty.
Not being out in the cold.
What about you, Amanda? Did you know from a young age you wanted to do circus?
Absolutely not.
No?
Absolutely not. No, I grew up doing gymnastics.
Okay.
And so was, you know, one mind doing gymnastics and didn't really have a plan post that. And then stumbled into the world of contemporary dance.
All right.
And then decided that I wanted to become a choreographer. So, you know, I went and started studying at VCA.
Yeah.
And then I moved in with these two acrobats, and they were like, oh, you should try circus. You'd be really good at it. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Yeah. And they took me to go and see A Simple Space by Gravity and Other Myths. Huh. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. So then I completely just dropped what I was doing, auditioned for a circus school in Melbourne, started circus, and coincidentally, here I am now with Gravity and Other Myths.
That is such
it's
on
very
the podcast.
Weird.
Oh, my God.
It's very weird.
Oh, that's
so,
super lovely.
So is this your first big circus season, like show?
Big season. Since graduating, I've done a few, like I was freelance for a bit, jumped in for a few projects with other companies, but this is my first big stint, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I feel very lucky.
Yeah. That's so great. Can you tell us the differences you see between the circus world in Oz and what you know of it here in Germany?
Well, I mean, straight away, the Australian circus scene, I feel like it's very much about a community, really. There's a lot of there's a lot of kind of youth schools, as Dylan mentioned before, as just like a recreational thing to do after school. You know, you learn to juggle and whatnot. And I think that kind of culture permeates through when you get into the more professional acrobats. Everyone's kind of used to growing up in a group and training in a group and things. And I actually don't know much about the circus scene here, especially in Berlin, but in Europe and North America as well, it's a bit more, I think, more solo focused.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you there's a bit more of a pathway to like train up your specialty and then get into one of the more famous circuses.
Right.
But I think in Australia it's a lot more because when we were growing up there's Circus Oz, there's Circa, there's another couple who have since kind of who don't exist anymore, but they're all kind of group family sort of things. So you kind of grow up looking at that and wanting to emulate that. Rather than, you know.
Which is inevitable because I think Australia, in terms of, population, we're not that big. So everybody kind of knows everybody in that world, right?
Mm. And we spoke about it just before the interview as well. The youth circus in Australia is such an incredible thing in the fact that there's so many of them, but also a few really good institutions where they're actually producing artists out of those youth circuses, like, you know, all of the members of. The co-founding members of Gravity and Other Myths didn't go to any of the, you know, NICA, which is the University of Circus in Australia, where the quality of the youth circus and the trainers that they're getting into those places to work with those young children, it's such a high quality that means you can go straight from there into the industry, which is an amazing thing that Australia has such a good, large range of teachers to educate the youth.
So have you been able to network with, like, German circus?
We've done a bit. We had a couple of them come in to do some training with us before the shows, just to kind of, you know, get to know them a bit. I think Louis West, one of the artists in the show, has gone out and done a couple of workshops at some of the schools around here, because he's got a lot of skills, like aerial skills and stuff that we don't use in the show. I've come and trained here a couple of times before this season, but I think in this season we've all been pretty like focused on preserving your body and getting through the 6 months.
Yeah.
None of us have ever done this season before, so it's a bit of a beast we don't really know how to handle yet.
I was going to ask, because it's what, 6 months almost?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, 7 shows a week for 6 months.
Yeah.
How are you all feeling? How are your
really
bodies?
Good.
Yeah, touch wood.
Yeah.
Good.
That's good.
Like, we we've had friends do this season before, and with kind of varying degrees of loving it, or, you know, getting injured and things.
Yeah.
But we knew that we were doing this season when we made the show.
Yeah.
So we really put a lot of thought into making the show doable for 6 months.
Sure.
On one, on the bodies, and two, on the mind as well. Like, I think a lot of people, if you're doing the same show every night, it's easy to kind of fall into some traps of, like, not really giving it your all every day. Yeah. And but, you know, in the show, there's enough kind of improvised bits and bits we can have fun with.
To that keep you, it fresh.
That you can just keep it fresh for yourself.
Like the questions from the audience.
That was such a good idea. I was worried you were going to shout out something.
Why would... Yeah. I was going to go, Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. He wouldn't let me do it. But have you had really crazy questions from the... There was a child asking questions when we were there, which I can imagine kids would ask some amazing questions.
You know, people ask some wacky ones. What's...
Oh, God. I would say more crazy stuff from our end, less the audience end. I mean, which is probably the reason it stays fresh and the show is enjoyable in that sense, is a lot of the talking is, I mean, all of the talking is completely improvised, and we say exactly how we're feeling. So sometimes you walk on stage and you're like, oh, today's been a really hard day and I miss my mum and my brother's
Oh, do you mean
this,
the talking bit with the microphone?
The talking with all the talking all throughout the whole show. None of it is scripted. So it means that we can actually, it's... You know, like a little therapy session. Yeah. You go and express how you're feeling on stage, and it means you can be completely real. You don't have to pretend. And so then also, when we talk about crazy things being said on stage, it means that sometimes we say some of the craziest stuff we've heard, and you go, oh, that wasn't quite right, but it's fine because we're doing it 174 times, so there's a bit of room for things to go wrong every so often. But it does keep it fresh, and it keeps it alive.
Yeah.
If it was scripted, I feel like you'd have those problems of getting stuck into it, and you're trying to be something that you, maybe you don't feel like being on that day.
That's true.
I mean, when you're rehearsing and improvising and coming up with ideas, where's your boundary of exploration? Like, do you go to the point where you think, I'm going to do something I've never done? Or do you sort of think, oh, I want to stick within my skill set that I've already, I trust? Do you kind of push each other in different areas? How does that... How does that work?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
We work with a set of parameters. So we have, when we're working with our director, our wonderful director, Darcy Grant, he will set us tasks, which is not dissimilar to any other creative process. And the tasks will have rules within it, but the goal for us is basically to go as far as we can.
Yeah.
'Cause I mean, it's always better to be told to bring it back than it is to keep going further. And where we are in acrobatics today, especially in Australia, we're really looking for new creative pathways and, like, what else can we do that's new and fresh to keep it, to keep pushing it.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't really know if I've answered the question.
But you have. I mean, but can you improvise or shock your cast member in something like acrobatics where there's safety parameters?
I think it's, you know, it's the one thing about improvising with acrobatics is there's always going to be that level of safety that you can't go, maybe in acting or other mediums you can push it further because there's no safety boundaries. But I think for us, a lot of the creative stuff comes from, I mean, and you see in the show, maybe we talk about the birthing move where it goes over the back and up through the legs.
Yeah.
A lot of it, acrobatics these days, you can see anything online from much better stuff than we will ever do on stage. Like, people have seen everything acrobatically.
Yeah.
So often we're now thinking of taking moves and adapting them and changing all the pathways to all the intricate things that people haven't done before. So a lot of our creative stuff comes from actually one basic physical move, whether that's, you know, a forward roll and you go away and you spend 5 hours coming up with 100 different ways to do a forward roll. We took that one move and we were like, how can we now make versions and versions of that that people haven't seen before? And that's where, you know, one of the big chunks of the show came from.
Yeah.
What's one of the scariest acts that you've done? Is it in this show or has it been previous?
Well, talking.
Oh, yeah. Really? Well, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. As actors, we don't understand that.
I still get scared talking.
Yeah, no, that was a really big one for us. Yeah, learning to be kind of comfortable talking on stage, you know, not speaking too fast, not mumbling. this show was...
Sorry? We still mumble.
Yeah. This show, one of the differences, this scene where we're doing all the talking, actually, we shine all the lights really strongly at us.
Yeah.
And we can't really see the floor. And so it's not as scary anymore, but the first couple of times we rehearsed it, it was just so different and disorientating to other times we've done it that we were all, pretty worried. But
although you might, I think you almost hit the ceiling or
something.
Yeah, because once you have three people stacked up on top of each other, you're pretty much hitting the lights.
And I was the theatre we're in at the moment is not very tall. We've hit the roof a couple of times.
We're probably on three or four at a count of hitting the roof so far.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
But I think, for me, the show, definitely the lighting is quite scary. It's probably the darkest I've ever performed in or done acrobatics in, whether the lights are pointing in your eyes or there's very minimal lighting.
Right.
And it does make a difference. We were laughing the other day that it's probably been a very long time since we've done three hives in normal lighting states. And it totally is disorientating, but we get used to it.
Yeah.
But, for example, standing on top of the three high, putting that light up in darkness, I find a little bit terrifying because there are moments where it's like I can't see the floor at all, and often that's my, if I can see them moving, I push them in a certain way, and now I just have to completely trust they can feel it.
And there's so much precision as well in moments where, there's a certain move or somebody lands and then on that beat is a light goes out and then a sound or a note.
Mm.
Everything is so precise. I think, that just to get to that moment in rehearsal must be so...
Satisfying,
but nerve-wracking.
I was
terrified just the thought of it.
Also, once again, one of the most amazing things about having Ekram on stage is that's much easier than, for example, in a dance show where they often work on counts and it has to be exactly the same every night.
Okay.
We are not the same every night at all, but the systems in place mean that Ekram is there and he follows the cues and then the lighting follow... also us, so that we don't have to do it the exact same every night. I mean, often, we are pretty precise at times and we do make it as similar as we can, but it's a very different world to try and make those things the same every night. In case things go wrong and you slightly adapt, we can work on the fly and then throw it a different time. But it is nice that we have Ekram on stage to make us look like we're hitting the music perfect every night.
Yeah.
So we're now in November. How long is the show running for?
Till mid-February, I think.
Mid-February the
17th. Oh, great.
Yes, we do 6 months, and we're at the end of this week on Sunday, so in like 4 days, we'll be exactly halfway through.
Okay.
Okay.
And have you ever spent Christmas in Berlin?
No, we're very excited.
Are you all here for Christmas?
Yeah.
In Berlin for Christmas and for New Year's as well.
Oh, great.
Are you doing a show on New Year's?
Yes, we're doing two shows on New Year's.
Two shows on New Year's. With a countdown.
And then fireworks.
Absolutely. And so you'll get to experience the Christmas markets, which open next week, I believe.
So excited.
I saw them getting set up when I was riding today.
And are you guys enjoying living in Berlin?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely love Berlin, except for not seeing the sun the past few weeks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But and apart from that.
I think us Aussies never get used to it. I've been here for 12 years and I still just...
For me, it's more than the cold, it's the grey.
It's so grey.
And the grey with the architecture of Berlin, the landscape of Berlin doesn't really invoke, joy, but... it's an experience.
It's such a lovely city, though. There's just so much to do. You can kind of do... You can be as touristy as you want, or you can be as just completely relaxed as you want. And there's always new stuff to find, and it's awesome. Yeah,
and what about your family? Your German family? Have they come?
My family are from Freiburg, and I do actually have one relative here in Berlin who has not come to see the show yet. But
but you're not bitter about that.
No, my parents are coming over in about a month, I think. So they're waiting for my parents to come, and then we'll kind of all catch up together.
Nice.
What's
happening after Feb, though? So with the show finishes here. Are you going to take it anywhere else?
Yeah, we've got a bunch of stuff coming, actually. So we've got... After this, we all got a bit of time off, so we go back to Australia. There's a massive festival happening in Adelaide, me and Dylan's hometown, that we're just going to go back and kind of enjoy as an audience member, which will be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We go home for 3 weeks just to relax, and then we start again in Europe. We do... bunch of French touring, something in Belgium, Romania.
Excellent.
And we do a bit in the US. Yep. Yeah, we'll be back.
Fabulous.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
I think we should go again and see the show.
Yeah, we'd love to come
and
see
the
show.
Yeah,
we'll come back.
Come along.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, all the best for the rest of the run, and we'll put all the details in the show notes.
Yeah,
yeah,
where people can get their tickets.
Please go see it if you're in Berlin. Please go see it. It's really, really good. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.